Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Surviving the Days Ahead. I am your host, Reverend Deborah Marshall. Today we're going to have a COVID-19 update, and then we will talk about gun safety. Now, if any of you want a reading, or, you know, because I no longer do readings on Saturdays, if any of you want a reading, or if you have a suggestion or idea for the show, please feel free to email me at all lowercase letters, R-E-V, as in victory, D-E-B, 1955, at gmail.com. So it's revdeb, 1955, at gmail.com. I'm always happy to hear from you. Now, we're going to do the COVID-19 update first. Okay, in the United States, now this is as of today, in the United States, we now have 7,864,327 cases. That represents, since Saturday was the last day that I did this. So since Saturday, we have 104,417 more cases. We are now standing at 218,174 deaths, and that represents an increase of 1,099. So this is Monday, and the last time I did this was Saturday. So in very short time, that's a lot. India, 7,173,069 cases and 109,892 deaths. Brazil, 5,094,979 cases and 150,515 deaths. Spain, 888,968 cases with 33,124 deaths. United Kingdom, 617,688 cases and 42,875 deaths. Italy, 359,569 cases and 36,205 deaths. Turkey, 337,147 deaths, cases, I'm sorry, and 8,895 deaths. Canada, 182,791 cases and 9,627 deaths. The Netherlands, 181,498 cases and 6,596 deaths. United Arab Emirates, 107,293 cases and 446 deaths. Ireland, 43,351 cases with 1,827 deaths. Denmark, 32,811 cases with 671 deaths. Greece, 22,358 cases and 449 deaths. Australia, 27,286 cases and 898. New Zealand, 1,871 cases and 25 deaths. So globally, we now have 37,594,267 cases. And that represents, since Saturday, that represents an increase of 615,812. So just in a couple of days. And we are at 1,077,836 deaths. And that represents an increase of 8,367 deaths since Saturday, which I think is quite a bit. Now, I have a quick article, and it is an interesting one. COVID-19 virus, they're finding now that it can survive on surfaces for nearly a month if the conditions are right. And this is by Jesse Hellman. Let me see here, 2:03 p.m. today, and it's the news site is The Hill. Now, the virus that causes COVID-19 can survive for nearly a month in cooler, dark conditions, on some non-porous surfaces such as glass and money in controlled laboratory conditions, according to a study published Monday that notes that the primary source of spread still appears to be through airborne aerosols and droplets caused by talking, singing, breathing, or laughing. The study completed by experts at the Australian Centre for Disease Preparedness and published in Virology Journal, found that the virus was detectable after 28 days on surfaces such as glass, stainless steel, paper, and polymer banknotes in lab experiments at room temperature, which was 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The authors of the study wrote that the findings are important because phones, ATMs, and other high-touch surfaces may not be regularly cleaned and therefore pose risks for transmission. The experts concluded that surface or fomite transmission could play some role in the spread of COVID-19, though the degree is unknown. While the primary spread of COVID-19 appears to be aerosols, that is, like sneezing and coughing, and respiratory droplets, fomites may also be an important contributor to transmission of the virus. And that is why you need to wash your hands frequently and use the hand sanitizing gel, you know, the alcohol gel and that kind of thing. Because when you're out in stores, you know, it's easy to be walking all the way through a store, leave the store, and when you get home, you start preparing dinner or you start to do something, you know, and you end up realizing, hey, I didn't wash my hands. So it is important for you to take time to do that. You have to remind yourself if it hasn't become a habit already. COVID-19 virus can survive on some surfaces for nearly a month in lab conditions. The study also found that virus is less likely to survive in higher temperatures, a finding confirmed by other studies. At 86 degrees, the virus was detectable on most surfaces for only 7 days, but it was detected for 21 days on paper notes. At 104 degrees, the virus was not detected past 48 hours for all surfaces tested. Temperature and humidity are both critical factors in viral survivability, with an increase in either being detrimental to virus survival, the authors wrote. Other experts noted that studies that look at how long the virus can stay on various surfaces are tightly controlled and do not mirror real-life conditions. For example, the experiments in the Australian study were completed in the dark to negate any effects of UV light, which can kill COVID-19. Previous studies have found viruses on surfaces but did not determine whether it was live or inactive virus. The new study, which looked at virus culture, showed the virus can be detectable and cultured after several days or weeks, which is disconcerting, said Peter Katona, chairman of the Infection Control Working Group at UCLA. But it doesn't answer whether the virus is still transmissible, he said. It's a step in the right direction. Now we know that they're viral particles, and that's definitely a help, but it doesn't tell you how much you need to be significant. The fact that virus on stainless steel is culturable in 28 days, does that mean in 28 days it's still transmissible? That's the key question, and this study did not answer that, he said. He added he would use the study to inform real-world policies. He wouldn't use the study to inform real-world policies yet, and there's not enough data to determine what role surface transmission plays in COVID-19 spread. We don't understand that very well at all. We don't know how important that is. We don't know how much virus it takes to do that, he said. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention states that the most important mode of transmission is from person to person. It may be possible that a person can get COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and then touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly their eyes, but this isn't thought to be the main way the virus spreads. Still, experts contend that it's important to frequently wash your hands and avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. Does the virus that causes COVID stay infectious on surfaces for a long time? Yes. Does it sometimes infect that way? Almost certainly. Should we wash our hands before we touch our face if our hands are possibly contaminated? Definitely, tweeted former CDC Director Tom Frieden. So, they're finding new things out about this, about COVID pretty much all the time. Now, I have someone here I want to make sure that I'm not ignoring. Area code 212, you're on the air. Hello? Area code 212. Okay, I'll put you back on listening. Okay, I have an article here that I want to read to you that I found yesterday. A 3-year-old boy dies after finding a gun, accidentally shooting himself in the head. Francesco Gariano, that was late afternoon yesterday that it came on the internet. A 3-year-old boy named James Kenneth Lindquester from Aloha, Oregon, has died after finding a handgun in a bedroom and accidentally shooting himself, according to the Washington County Sheriff's Office. The tragic incident was reported on Friday, October 9th at 9:49 p.m. when deputies responded to the shooting. James's family called 911 and reported that he had retrieved a handgun from a drawer in an end table and shot himself in the head. A woman who is, that's a photograph thing. Okay, local law enforcement and the fire and rescue department tried to save James's life. He was later taken to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead shortly before midnight. If you ask any first responder, the death of a child is the absolute worst call that we go to, Washington County Deputy Shannon Wild told local station KATU. It's tough. A lot of us are parents ourselves. I know some of the responders on scene last night have children. Some have children the same age as this little boy, and it's tough. We see a lot of horrible things, but seeing a child in that situation is the worst. The investigation into James' death is still ongoing, according to the Washington County Sheriff's Office. This is another. They had some pictures of the child in this with this article, and he was a beautiful young boy. Roughly one-third of U.S. homes with children have guns, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, many of which are loaded or unlocked. Even young toddlers can be strong enough to pull the trigger on a handgun, per the AAP. In 2019, there were 241 unintended shootings by children, which led to more than 100 deaths and almost 150 injuries. The AAP advises that the safest homes for children are homes without guns. However, for families who decide to keep guns in the home, research shows that teaching kids about gun safety or not to touch the guns is not enough. The AAP recommends safe storage, meaning all guns are locked and unloaded with ammunition locked up separately. Don't keep loaded, unlocked guns in a car either. When the gun is in use, the safety catch should be in place until the shooter is ready to fire. It's true that if you're keeping it in your bedside table like that, you know, in case you hear something go bump in the middle of the night, you think, well, gee, it's going to take me so long to take the lock off and unload it. But if you have children, take the time, always take the time. Always unload the gun before setting it down. And I'm saying get a lock for it. The AAP also discourages parents from allowing children to shoot guns. In other words, don't try to teach them how to do it because they'll sneak in there when you're not looking. A very young child will do that. And even some of the older ones can do foolish things. Now, WikiHow. This is how to handle a firearm safely. Before I do that, on the website, when I was looking at this, there was one that was hilarious and another one that was serious. On YouTube, Plaxico Burress, It was put up by LandlineTV.com, but it was also YouTube. Plaxico Burress on Gun Safety. And that will have you laughing. And then there's another one, Plaxico Burress on how he shot himself, because that was true, by accident. It's a good thing to listen to. And if you go to YouTube, you can probably pull it up that way, or you can go to WikiHow, How to Handle a Firearm Safely, and it'll come right up. Firearms are dangerous tools, but they can also be a very fun outdoor recreational activity or even a family event. Before ever touching any type of firearm, there are a few cardinal rules which should be followed at all times. While there are a few 10 rules of firearm safety posters and sayings or quips, most gun owners believe there are more than just 10. Here we have listed 15 rules, though some of them detail more than one specific thing to follow. The following rules are generally in order of priority from highest to lowest, but they are all very important and should be followed at all times. Safe firearms handling technique should be done consistently each and every time. Being 99% safe is a recipe for tragedy when it comes to firearms. Now, one thing that I put in here, I think I got this off of another site, but I wanted to give it to you. What is the safe way to tell if the firearm is loaded? Think of the word ACT, A-C-T. Assume it's loaded, control the muzzle direction, and trigger finger off of trigger. That's ACT. Assume, control, trigger. Prove, P-R-O-V-E. Point the gun in the safest direction. Remove all bullets. Observe the chamber. Verify the feeding path and examine the bore. So it's ACT and prove. Point, remove, observe, verify, and examine. And that is a very good way to remember it. Step number one, always keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. You know, you don't want to, even if you know that there are no bullets in it, you don't want to pick that gun up and look down the bore. Okay? It's foolish. You never do that. This rule surpasses all other rules. It is a very simple concept. If the firearm is pointed in a safe direction, intentional or accidental discharge will not harm anyone. The safest direction should be chosen. So humans, animals, and then inanimate objects are all taken into account. This also includes being sure that when you carry the firearm, you are able to fully control the muzzle direction and angle, especially if you are walking or otherwise traveling. In case you trip or stumble, this is also helped by rule number three. So, you know, you've got to think about those things at all times. If you're doing a concealed carry, especially. Because if you have it in a holster, you know, and it's on your person, you want to make sure that is completely unloaded. Assume that the firearm is also loaded. I mean, is always loaded. Even if the firearm is known to be unloaded, it should be treated with the respect of a loaded gun. For example, even though you've just triple-checked and know it's unloaded, you still don't point it at people. You always follow rule number one, you know, make sure it's in a safe direction at all times. Number three, keep your finger off the trigger. This prevents any accidental discharges from a trigger pull. With a pistol, there is usually an area, excuse me one minute. Okay. I need water and I didn't bring any. This prevents any accidental discharges from a trigger pull. With a pistol, there is usually an area above the trigger where you can rest your finger. Though they often call this the index point. For rifles or other guns, it is best to remove your whole hand from the area where the trigger is. There are plenty of other safe ways to carry the gun. Along with this, It should be emphasized to not rely on the firearm's safety. While human error is many times more likely to cause a problem, the safety can fail and pulling the trigger may result in an accidental discharge. Certain pistols don't have manual safeties at all. In this case, they often have safeties integrated into the trigger, backstrap or grip, or hammer. These types of guns are especially dangerous around inexperienced users. But training and aggressive execution of safety techniques can overcome many of the dangers of a safety-less firearm. Once you are on the line to shoot, do not put your finger on the trigger until you have pointed it on the target. This may be a difficult habit to break, as you may feel it is natural to have your finger on the trigger once you think you are wanting to shoot, but it isn't a good idea. Be sure your target and everything that is downrange. You know, be sure of your target and everything that's downrange. This is important. Now that you have reached the point where you can fire, you want to be absolutely sure of what your target is and what is behind it. In many cases, the bullet fired can go through the target and out the other side. Anything downrange is important to watch. Bullets may strike an intended or unintended target and bounce, ricochet, or otherwise change direction. Be sure, if you are shooting with others around you, that you do not stand behind anyone when you fire. Not only is this unsafe, but it is discourteous. Anyone shooting should be side by side. This prevents accidental shootings. It also prevents someone from being startled by the muzzle blast of the firearm. Even small guns like a .22 LR pistol can put out a blast to make a grown man jump, and anything in front or to the sides of the muzzle can feel it. Larger caliber firearms can actually cause headaches or damage just from the muzzle blast. So it is important to wear earmuffs. Get safety glasses and earmuffs or plugs, but the muffs are better. Number five, always hand a firearm to someone unloaded. If you hand a firearm to someone, it should be unloaded. Check the magazine and the chamber. When the firearm is not going to be used immediately, it should be unloaded in the same manner. If you receive a firearm from someone, you should check the magazine and chamber to make sure the gun is not loaded until you intend to fire. A good way to let yourself and anyone around you know the gun is unloaded is by locking the bolt, slide, or cylinder in the open position. This makes it so that even if the trigger is pulled, no bullet will fire. The manual for the firearm, it will generally mention the safest way to carry or unload the firearm. When not using the gun or while transporting it, you should always unload it. In many locales, there are laws against carrying a loaded firearm in a vehicle without proper permits, even if just transporting it to and from a firing range or repair shop. If any of you decide to get a concealed carry license, that's one of the things they most likely will tell you. You are obligated, even if you've taken it apart and there are no bullets in it and it's hidden somewhere in the back seat of the car, you know, regardless. Even if you've done all of that, you have to, if you've pulled over for speeding, for instance, getting a speeding ticket, you are obligated to tell the policeman that you have it and where it is. And you have to show your license. Otherwise, I think you can go to jail. Number six, use the proper ammunition. Using improper ammunition for your firearm or your gun can not only damage or destroy your gun, but can also cause serious injury or even death. The gun is specifically designed for one specific caliber or gauge and possibly even a specific load of ammunition. Overly reloaded or improperly hand-loaded cartridges or shells can be a danger and detriment to the firearm, the shooter and others around the gun. An important detonation in a firearm, which disables an improper detonation, in a firearm, which disables the gun, is known by many as a kaboom, or a KB for short. For example, though a 40 Smith & Wesson caliber cartridge may load into a 45 ACP cartridge or magazine, placing the smaller round into the gun makes the unsupported casing blow out of the gun or blow apart, throwing shrapnel from the gun. Some pistols are known to have kabooms from reloaded or hand-loaded ammunition. A couple of common guns are the M1911 and Glocks in 40 Smith & Wesson. Both are known to do it with hot or overloaded ammunition. These failures are due to the internal design of the weapons and cannot be compensated for. So reading the manual and talking to whoever you're buying it from should help. Manufactured ammunition is usually best. They have tested the loads and pressures many times with expensive machines. They invariably put out the most consistent loads. Now, in general, the more expensive ammunition is more consistent, but that is not always the case. Match-grade ammunition is specifically measured and engineered to be as consistent as possible. It is also usually the most expensive ammunition. Powder loads are also important to pay attention to. Both a 9x19mm or 9mm Luger Parabellum and a 45 ACP and other cartridges have rounds known as TAP or other nicknames by companies. These are known as hot rounds. They have extra powder, which results in higher chamber pressures. The next step up is a plus P, and a 9x19mm cartridges can also come in a plus P. Each step up causes greater chamber pressures, which also results in higher muzzle velocities for the rounds. But many pistols are unable to shoot a plus P reliably without damaging parts. Dual-stage recoil springs are a good indicator that a pistol is able to shoot the hot loads without a problem, but asking the manufacturer and checking the manual is the best way to ensure that you are not damaging your weapon or putting yourself at risk. For rifles such as the 223 Remington, there are additional considerations as well. The 5.56x45mm NATO rounds are the exact same dimensions as the weapon is advertised as a 223. Do not fire 5.56x45mm ammunition through it. There are different types or receiver/chamber specifications. Most 222 rifles have the SAMe spec. The SAAMI spec chamber, which is not the same as the mil-spec chamber, as would be on an M16 or other military-type rifles. The SAMe is designed to be highly accurate, but not as durable as a mil-spec, which gives up tolerances for pressure resistance and reliability. Mil-spec chambers are able to shoot 223 rounds fine, though less accurately, but not vice versa. The 308 Winchester and the 7.62x51mm NATO rounds are the same, so no precautions are needed in this case. Wear ear and eye protection. For many small caliber rifles, ear protection is not completely necessary, but it is highly recommended. While the sound from small caliber fire may not cause pain, it still has the potential to damage your hearing. When shooting anything larger than a 22, it is strongly suggested that you use ear protection, especially during extended use. There is a website called cheaperthandirt.com, and if you go to that website, they have some earmuffs there that are better than earplugs. And there's some there that are fairly reasonable in price. It is strongly suggested that you use ear protection, especially during extended use. Ringing in your ears after a shot is fired is a sign that your ears are exceeding their percussive limitations and possibly causing permanent damage. Now, let's see. Eye protection is a must. Even though you may be confident that there are no problems with your firearm, Small problems can arise from your gun heating up from firing or from ammunition defects. There is also the problem of flying brass, spent cartridges hitting you in the eye. Another problem usually presents itself with larger calibers or pistols with very short, less than 3-inch barrels. There may be unburned powder flying through the air or even bouncing off the back of the bullet just fired, which can then be directed towards you. Number 8, if your gun doesn't fire when the trigger is pulled, be cautious. Now, this would scare me. I have never had that happen. When the trigger is pulled and there is no boom, think to make sure you had a round in the chamber. If you are absolutely sure you did not have one in the chamber, fix the problem. If you think there was a cartridge in the chamber, hold the gun pointed towards the target. You can try firing the gun again if it is a double-action gun. Try this once, maybe twice, and if nothing happens, still keep the gun pointed at the target for about 20 seconds. If the round still does not fire, carefully remove the magazine, if possible, and eject the round out of the chamber. Place the dud cartridge in a safe area away from humans, valuables, or other ammunition. The problem is usually due to a dud primer and is much more common in hand-loaded ammunition than manufactured ammunition. Number 9, be sure the firearm's barrel, chamber, and action are clear of obstruction before firing. Anything caught in the barrel can cause major damage to your barrel and or firearm. It can even cause a kaboom. Obstructions in the chamber can cause the round not to load properly or not load at all. It can also cause extraction and ejection problems, which drastically reduce the reliability of the gun. An action impediment can prevent the hammer of the firearm from hitting the round or firing pin, or prevent it from drawing again to fire another round. 10, maintain your firearm properly. Maintenance is a big concern when owning a gun. The older the gun, the more important it can become. In general, the firearm should be cleaned after each use. Some firearm manufacturers recommend the wearing of eye protection prior to field stripping the weapon. This may help prevent any eye injuries resulting from inadvertently launching springs or other components when field stripping the weapon. Now, pistols should be, at a minimum, field stripped, if possible, cleaned with a cloth and or brush and solvent. The barrel should be brushed out with a barrel brush. There will likely be a lot of carbon and powder buildup in the chamber, so a pick and more solvent can be used there. Once this is done, wipe again with a clean cloth to remove all solvent. Each moving part should be lubricated with gun oil, except the firing pin of semi-automatic pistols, which can become gummed up with grime and carbon collected by the oil. The exterior of the barrel and the slide rail guides are especially on the slide and the frame, should also be lubricated. Using too much oil, though, may encourage powder and carbon buildup in those areas. Once done, wipe the externals down with a clean cloth to remove any excess oil and pull the slide back a few times to work some of the oil around it. Field stripping rifles and shotguns for cleaning are usually a bit more difficult or complex. Let me see. I think I'm going to let that one go because we're talking about the handguns for emergencies, so I'm not going to go into that. But every 6 to 8 months, the gun should be taken out and oiled again, maybe cleaned too if there's dust buildup. With plenty of oil and good initial cleaning, the firearm should stay in perfect condition. Storage in a dry area would help too, but the oil should displace and protect against moisture on your firearm. After not using the gun for an extended period of time, it is best to clean and re-oil it before use. Number 11, proper modification of a firearm. It is probably best not to have your firearm modified. Never do any modification yourself. Changes to your gun, which are done improperly, could permanently damage the gun and cause problems such as a kaboom when fired. So I would say talk to a gunsmith if it's something you want to do. 12, learn the safety and firing characteristics of the firearm. Learning how to use a gun safely is paramount. Learn how to unload the magazine, if available, unload and check the chamber, engage the safety, if available, clear jams, examine the barrel and feel strip, if available, the firearm. Firing characteristics are also a key component of knowing the firearm you are using. If you are unaware about certain aspects of the gun, such as the amount of kick from a gun, ask someone who is knowledgeable with that specific gun. Be sure you are able to consist a firearm safely. 13, never shoot hard or flat surfaces, including water. While some objects may seem tantalizing to shoot, many metallic or other hard and or flat objects can be very dangerous to shoot. These objects include water, which can cause the bullet to bounce or ricochet in unexpected and dangerous directions. They are even able to bounce back toward or near the shooter. Small, low-velocity bullets, such as .22s, are very well known for their ability to ricochet. Due to their light weight and low velocity, things like wood, rocks, or even dirt can cause the bullet to ricochet. Refer to rule number 4. Now, one piece of good news about ricochets is the fact that in general, bullets do not bounce as a ball would because of the extreme velocities of even low-velocity bullets and because the soft-lid bullets tend to follow relatively parallel paths to the plane of the object that has been hit. Thus, where the shooter is standing is usually the safest place to be when a ricochet occurs. There are exceptions to this, such as solid core bullets, no lid core, which change the dynamics of the bullet. Rubber can also cause a bullet to bounce straight back, and hard objects which are angled can cause a bullet to wrap around the back of the shooter or back toward the shooter. Now, never allow your loaded firearm out of your control. If you have a loaded gun, never leave it unattended. This is while at the range and at your home both. If you can't be certain of the status or who may have access to it, it is best to unload the firearm, lock it. You know, lock the firearm with a slide lock for a pistol or lock the firearm in a hard case or safe. For optimal safety, keep the ammunition in a separate area locked up as well. Be sure to follow all state and local laws regarding firearm storage. Some states do not require firearms to be locked away, but keep in mind that there are children or others who may obtain access to your guns or ammunition. Number 15, never mix alcohol or drugs with guns. Even the slightest bit of alcohol or drugs, even prescription drugs, can impair or alter your judgment of even common or simple things. This combination can be a lethal dose to yourself or others around you when involving guns. Never, under any circumstances, use a gun while not completely sober. Now, why is it dangerous to shoot upwards? Everything that comes up, goes up must come down. A bullet shot into the air will fall back to the ground and may hit someone, even yourself. Is there a kickback on a .44 long barrel handgun? Yes, as there is with almost any handgun. With the gun mentioned, it is very noticeable. Try using both hands to hold the weapon, but be extremely careful of their placement. Now, warnings. Never look down the barrel of a firearm, loaded or not. The first time could be the last. Read the manual or the specific firearm you are going to use before ever picking it up. Wash your hands thoroughly after shooting a gun. Powder residue, lubricant, and even lid can attach itself to your hand, and all of these are potentially harmful when ingested. Be sure to follow all state and local laws while shooting. Note that many laws on firearms change drastically from state to state and can even change between counties or even cities. Do not attempt to carry a gun in the waistband of your pants or in your pocket. This is a great way to blow your own foot off. A proper holster keeps the firearm in place and objects out of the trigger guard. Firearms can be very dangerous and even lethal. They should only be used by experienced gun users or under the direct supervision of an experienced firearm instructor. take a class on gun safety or concealed carry class, and you know, really listen to what they're telling you. It's not a toy, and you want to make sure your kids know that. And you've just got to make sure that it's unloaded and locked. Okay, tips. Know how to use the safety on the firearm if available. In many states, discharging a gun at someone to defend property is not a legal defense. Know the laws. Know all the laws. Except for guns carried for defensive purposes, carry only empty, taken down, open action, or locked firearms into your automobile, camp, or home. And you have to make sure that the campground, if you go to a campground, you got to make sure that they'll allow you to have a weapon on the premises, because most of them probably will say no. Always learn your stuff before assuming you know to safely handle a firearm, and I don't mean just shooting it. Proper handling, loading and unloading, cleaning, and safe storage knowledge is key. Take a gun course or firearms course if you can afford it, even if you can't. Research through books, online courses, and extensive information, such as this site, and learn as much as you can. I myself do not have a firearms license or powder and primer firearms, but I do have a CO2 air gun, which I treat with the same gun safety as I would a real gun if I had the opportunity. And I've been studying for 2¾ years gun knowledge and safety. You can learn through courses. Just take your time and never overestimate your abilities. Never carry a loaded gun while climbing over a fence or up a tree. Hunters using tree stands should hoist their unloaded firearms up after they have securely in the tree using a line or cord. When descending, unload your weapon before lowering it, even when you're in a hurry to track that fresh kill. So I hope, let's see, we only got 3 minutes left, so I did not get completely finished. So Saturday, and I apologize that I wasn't on yesterday, I couldn't make it in time, but Saturday I should be back on, and I'm going to wrap this up. It shouldn't take very long, and then we will move on to something else. But you really should, let's see, where is it? Looking for that. One of these days I'll learn to put things back in the right order. Okay, Plaxico Burress, landlinetv.com. It's on YouTube. Plaxico Burress on gun safety. That's funny. That's hilarious. And Plaxico Burress on how he shot himself. And that's not funny. That's something that actually happened to him. So I hope that you will, that gives you some additional knowledge that I think you probably should watch. And we will finish this up, as I said, on Saturday. So in the meantime, I hope that all of you will get your disaster supplies together. Remember that they are looking at a couple more areas in the Atlantic that might turn into another hurricane or tropical storm. So I guess it'll be Gamma, I suppose, will be the next name. It's amazing that, you know, that we're getting another one, but we might. So you want to be prepared. Get your disaster supplies together. If you go to my website at survivingintroubledwaters.wordpress.com. Surviving in Troubled Waters, all like one word, all small letters, .wordpress.com. I have a pretty inclusive list of things you should take with you. I mean, things you should have with you in case a disaster occurs. So we're almost out of time. Please do that and keep your ears to the news, okay, to the international news, so that you know what's going on in the world. And that will help you to know if there is a disaster in the offing, hopefully. So until we meet back again at 4 p.m. this coming Saturday, as we learn to survive the days ahead, may God bless. Good night.